Page 8, Spring Convention Report by Judy Wilkinson. Thanks to my Cub reporters, Stephen Mendelson, Roger Peterson, Bonnie Rennie, Christy Crespin. There's nothing like attending a convention for excitement and interesting activities. Remember, you can order tapes of many of the convention events from the office or download MP3 files from the CCB website. The fall convention will be in San Diego the last week in October. I'll be there. I hope you will, too. This convention was dedicated to the California School for the Blind, celebrating its 150th birthday this May. Thursday afternoon, the Technology Committee focused on an update from HumanWare about new products, and Sheila Cushman-Gunn showcased a little device, the Pen Friend, for creating talking labels. Meanwhile, Patricia Leach chaired the Rehab Committee meeting. Frank Welty reported on the surveys many filled out at last fall's convention about their satisfaction with services from the Department of Rehab. 82 surveys showed that obtaining services in a timely manner is an ongoing problem. Page 9. The final hour saw a fascinating discussion with two directors of states with commissions for the blind, Nebraska and New Mexico. Both directors suggested that because they know their populations and can specialize in meeting needs of the blind, they can offer more in-depth and specially adapted services to their clients. The meeting of the Board of Directors in an afternoon and evening session covered many areas of the organization's business. See minutes elsewhere in this issue. Social doings? Let's not forget the strictly social events, the Thursday afternoon welcome party hosted by the San Mateo chapter. The San Francisco Lighthouse hosted a reception for their new CEO, Brian Bastian. The California School for the Blind Jazz Ensemble entertained us before the evening board meeting. The Friday afternoon Multicultural Concerns Party, and after evening business at any convention, the Hospitality Suite, hosted at this convention by various Bay Area chapters and the Blind Students of California. Page 10, Friday. In case you have some spare time, the exhibit hall is open from 9 to 5 for 2 days. So much to see, so little time. The convention couldn't function without the hard work of the Credentials Committee, which assures that all voting entities have submitted appropriate records. At 9, three choices were available. Association of Multicultural Concerns, AMC, discussed their Braille Writer project. They hope to send 6 Perkins Braillers and paper to a school for the blind in Africa. The estimated cost is $3,600. They also discussed their proposed scholarship honoring the late Dr. Louis Preston. Speaker Diane Burkholder led a discussion of health issues, especially sexually transmitted disease, about which people are still reluctant to talk. She also indicated the scarcity of accessible information in alternative formats about health issues. BRLC held elections. Steve Fort, President, Roger Peterson, delegate to BRL in Phoenix. The program speaker was Noel Runyon, a blind engineer and a member of a team sponsored by the National Braille Press, doing research into possible new techniques to produce refreshable Braille displays. The joint session of CCLV and CAT focused on the use of the Structured Negotiations Legal Advocacy Technique to achieve greater accessibility of technology in the mainstream environment. This strategy was used to bring about installation of over 100 accessible pedestrian signals, APS, throughout San Francisco. San Francisco traffic signal engineer Eddie Tsui provided a fascinating account of the detailed work that went into selecting the technology, siting the installations, and creating the correct customized audio message for each location. And he explained the work and organizational structure that goes into maintaining and improving the system. page 11. In the next part of the program, attorney Lainey Feingold reviewed the history of structured negotiations and the key role played by CCB in its development and continued success. Three skilled and dedicated advocates, Margie Donovan, Brian, and Kim Charlson, described their experience advocating in such areas as accessible retail point-of-sale machines, the Major League Baseball website, and other areas. Each offered lessons and techniques based on their experience, ranging from the need for patience to the importance of friend-raising as much as fund-raising. Later Friday morning, Library Users, CALUA, held its business meeting and decided to investigate holding a book club via conference call. The joint BRLC/CALUA luncheon speaker was Kim Charlson, head of the Talking Book Library at the Perkins School in Massachusetts. The first blind librarian heading a Talking Book regional library, she told of her path to her current position. She serves on the Committee for Changing Standards of Administering Libraries for the Blind. She mentioned lots of databases available to any holder of a public library card and reminded us to use them and check them for accessibility. Much of the remaining discussion focused on sources for electronic or downloadable books of special interest to blind folks is Unabridged Consortium for Downloadable Books. Commercially available books are purchased for the site. Page 12. At 4:15, a number of special interest groups and standing committees meet. First-timers can learn how conventions work and get themselves oriented. At the CCB Membership, Public Relations, and Fundraising Committee's meeting, John Ross, pinch-hitting for a speaker who canceled, spoke about Lions Clubs. Their involvement with blindness goes back to a 1925 Helen Keller Convention address in which she challenged them to be the eyes of the blind. John noted that many clubs have no blind members and urged people to join. The meeting then discussed fundraising. Several people noted the difficulties encountered by most chapters and the lack of energy and creativity in fundraising and membership recruitment. No one had any immediate or dramatic solutions, and one person suggested that chapters spend too much time and effort raising money from one another. At the Publications Committee meeting, we discussed the need for new members since we lost several last year. The brochure on vision loss for seniors is coming along. A lengthy discussion followed about large print best practices. Font is the least of it. Lighting is all important, Donna Pomerantz reminded us. For the BC, we need to establish clearer policies for article submission, but the motto for now is, you give us your story, we'll polish it. Page 13, the President's Dinner, to which all were invited, held a lively discussion about stereotypes of the blind. Saturday, the Education Committee members get up early for their breakfast meeting where Let's Talk Dots, Inspiring Kids to Learn Braille, was the topic presented by Ann Gellis, Braille instructor at CSB. Braille is back, and a lively discussion followed. Guide dog users of CA also got up by 8:30. It was agreed to support SB 1491, which would allow schools wishing to participate to train guide dog and handler teams at home, but the instructor must be licensed in California. During the more formal program, member Jerry Arakawa described a quiet car incident where, with no noise to alert him that the vehicle was still moving, his dog, luckily unhurt, exited the opening door. Trainers from several of the schools gave tips on what to do when your dog is attacked by another dog, including keep moving if possible beyond the other animal. If you can call 911, say my dog and I are being attacked, because if your dog is being attacked, you are in harm's way as well. The Blind Students of California focused on volunteerism and community outreach with three speakers, Jeff Tom, Brian Conursa, and Darian Smith, describing their volunteer experiences, ranging from hosting foreign exchange students to working as a youth prison mentor to service in the AmeriCorps program. Each faced experiences where the fears or prejudices of others needed to be confronted, as when one of Darian Smith's work supervisors wouldn't let him participate in kitchen work because knives were involved. Each recommend volunteering as a great way of gaining experience and possibly beginning to build a career. Page 14. At their business meeting, recent activities were discussed: serving on the Resolutions Committee, preparing for Capitol Day with role-playing exercises designed to help members put themselves in the place of legislators, fundraising plans, their take from running the Hospitality Suite Thursday, a corporate letter, the upcoming karaoke party, and revising their constitution. The Orientation Center luncheon attendees heard from OCB's new administrator, Linda Woodbury. Highlights of her speech include her vision of what the letters OCB stand for: O, opportunity and options; C, choice and choosing; B, maximizing benefits. Major construction and renovation are occurring on campus, including building apartments for students' use near the end of their stay. More emphasis is being placed on transitioning back to the home community. The Seniors with Vision Loss program featured two innovative services that certainly add to the quality of life for seniors. California residents may call the Vista Center for the Blind and Visually Impaired to access the free services of its health library. Call 650-858-0202 and ask for the health library and request patient education materials on a variety of conditions. Materials are provided in alternate formats. Senior Centers Without Walls is a free program for people over age 50 living in the Greater Bay Area. Imagine attending stimulating discussion groups and feeling the social connectedness of a community just by calling in at 877-797-7299. At 4:30, two committees meet: governmental affairs focused on legislative issues of concern to the CCB. See article by Frank Welty. Page 15. The fundraising committee talked about ways to improve the raffle, obtaining prizes earlier, and not attempting to mention them all, getting tickets to the chapters in a more timely fashion. A number of fundraising ideas, some sounding tried and true like dinners, garage sales, and the like. Other thoughts, piggyback ideas, have a dinner and include an auction, for example. At all hours of the convention, the Resolutions Committee is hard at work. Those folks often don't get to the hospitality suite. Saturday's banquet is always exciting. The MC tells bad jokes. Yes, Dan Kaiser, that's you. Awards are given. See elsewhere in this issue. Donations and raffle winners are announced. And the banquet speaker, Anita Aaron, past CEO of the San Francisco Lighthouse and new executive director of the World Institute on Disability, gave a warm, down-to-earth, funny, inspiring speech. Teamwork between the Lighthouse and CCB, of which she is a member, brought about APSs in San Francisco, helped pass the bill gaining the Office of Services for the Blind. She ended by reminding us that she hasn't gone anywhere. She's just across the bay, as close to all of us as she always has been. General sessions. The major activities of the convention occur in four general sessions of a minimum of 10 hours. Friday afternoon's first general session focused on activities at the California School for the Blind, but it began with two gentlemen talking about gardening. Ben Audi Kamui, a horticulturalist with the Parks and Recreation Department in San Francisco, and Sean Coratori, his blind assistant, age 23, who began gardening with him at age 8. They talked about Project Insight, a program which began in 1994 with 8 gardeners with disabilities and now has some 70 participants. In partnership with the San Francisco Lighthouse, the program allows gardeners to share the social aspects, coffee and cake, and the work aspects of gardening. The website is projectinsight.org. Page 16. After providing a brief history of schools for the blind, Stuart Wittenstein, superintendent at CSB, presented staff and students sharing about numerous current programs based at the school. The Transition Services Program, preparing students for meaningful work, runs the Campus Rocket Cafe, where students learn work behaviors and skills. Student Robin P. helped set up the program and described what the students do. Some students participate in the summer BEPYEP, B-E-P-Y-E-P, Business Enterprise Program, Youth Experience Program, where they are paired with blind vendors in the BEP program. Sharon Sachs, yes, a former CCB scholarship winner, and her colleagues talked about supporting blind students in all schools. One area involves team assessments, either on campus or in the child's school. An assessment team evaluates students, meets with relevant school officials and families, and writes a report for guidance purposes. Francie Liefert described the vision assessment process, involving assessing the child's vision and then developing techniques to use it. Jim Carrion described his activities as a technology specialist, assess needs, and then help with implementation. Page 17, Stuart concluded this fascinating two-hour segment by reminding us that more and more visually impaired kids are referred to CSB because their own districts aren't getting the job done. Not enough in-depth needs assessment or intensive service delivery. Caseload's too huge, and with schools cutting back spending, the problem will only get worse. Friday evening began with a moment of silence for those who have died. Francis Menino, Barbara Messenger, Connie Showman. See articles in this issue. Carolyn Scribner, hit by a train when her scooter stalled on the tracks. Louis Preston, see article in Spring, B.C. Judy Stern from Los Angeles. Following the report of the Credentials Committee, Isaac Shapiro described a new Southern California-based Inspiration Foundation focusing on assisting individuals who cannot get assistance elsewhere, especially for technology. The foundation is funded through their profit-making enterprise, Imus Trading, with the brand Clean Logic with Braille on the labels of some of their products. They hope to fund their first award in June. The next amazing speaker, architect Christopher Downey, blind only 2 years, returned to his career within weeks of being blind. Because he knew the techniques he needed, he quickly adapted strategies, such as using a Tiger printer to braille diagrams. But he said most of what architects do concerns strategizing and compromising. He now consults on projects which take advantage of his singular position. For instance, working on the Western Veterans Rehab Center, he noticed that the original design had out juttings from the walls, which blind people would run into and which he knew wouldn't work. Most exciting, after working with blind students recently exploring career options, he has convinced some colleagues that blind students could study architecture. His website is archforblind.com. Page 18, Stuart Wittenstein returned to discuss his work as president of Council of Schools for the Blind. Lots of schools for the blind are in trouble. Legislatures think closing them is a good way to save money. Kim Charlson chairs an ACB task force to provide expertise to schools and states so that schools such as North Carolina's won't be shut down as Oregon's has been already. Kim points out that outreach such as what Perkins does is absolutely necessary. Perkins works with hundreds of blind babies. Early intervention is key. Otherwise, schools for the blind are viewed as relics of segregation from the philosophy of the independent living movement. We need to fight to keep our schools for the blind. The task force with which Stuart consults aims to do that. Kim Charlson then spoke as ACB's representative to the convention, describing the many hats she wears as first vice president. She chairs or is official liaison to the Constitution and Bylaws Committee, the International Relations Committee, the Environmental Access Committee, which is working on finalizing a pedestrian safety handbook, the Scholarship Committee, which our own Richard Rueda co-chairs, now has applications online. The Health Issues Task Force works to get more health-related information accessible, as with the recent breast cancer and prostate cancer tapes. Page 19, she works with the Audio Description Project. Chris Gray is a member. ACB wants to become the go-to place for information on audio description. She is one of two delegates to the World Blind Union, Mitch Pomerantz being the other. She is a representative to the Braille Authority of North America, BANA, which is doing further research on the Nemeth Math Code. She discussed the work being done to expand copyright law so that materials can be shared throughout the world. Now, for instance, 8 countries have each produced copies of the Harry Potter books because copyright law won't allow them to share. Frank Welty presented the Governmental Affairs Report. See his articles. Jeff's President's Report insisted we remember the strengths of our organization, the most active disability group in the state with 2 conventions a year and a model for the ACB, a strong legislative advocacy program with chapters chipping in to send folks to Washington for ACB's lobbying effort. He also mentioned the survey done about rehab services, better fundraising efforts this year. Remember our strengths, not our weaknesses. Lena Bandy was elected to fill a board vacancy with the death of Louis Preston. Saturday's general session began with a slate of the nominating committee. President Donna Pomerantz, First Vice President Eugene Lozano, Treasurer Christopher Gray, board members Vincent Calderon, David Jackson, Lena Bandy, and David Hanlon. Larissa Cummings, Esquire, Staff Attorney, Disability Rights Education and Defense Fund, reported the settlement with the Social Security Administration, allowing people to get materials in alternative formats, now including large print. See article BC Spring. Page 20, Department of Rehabilitation and Budgetary Hard Times, was the theme for Luciana Profaca, Chief Deputy Director, and Catherine Bales, Blind Field Services, BFS, District Administrator. Joe Xavier spoke as acting, now appointed, Deputy Director of Services for the Blind. Beth Berenson from the San Francisco Lighthouse described her weekly email cataloging accessible social and recreational events in Northern California. She urges Southern California to create a similar service. To receive this email, contact her at bberenson@lighthouse-sf.org or by phone 415-694-7322. We all now know that when Frank Welty talks, we're taking notes, and you'll want to read his legislation report in this issue. The session ended with Joan Levy from the San Mateo County History Museum dishing the dirt about San Mateo County, where the outlaws went after California became a state and they were kicked out of San Francisco. Sunday's final general session is set aside for organization business. A lengthy discussion was held concerning convention program format issues. The consensus was this convention's program format in both Braille and large print was one of the best. Substantive points included where to place various kinds of information, such as hotel layout, how to format Braille so that new items are easily found, explaining the alphabet soup for committees, including a tactile hotel map and a quick guide to rooms. All these suggestions and those submitted to the office will be considered. We heard the treasurer's report. We're working toward having quarterly audit reports so we can keep tabs on budgets. Income in 2009, $22,504, 79% of what we expected to raise. We spent 5.7% more than estimated. The budget for 2010 has a far smaller amount of deficit spending, $341,287, with an overspend of $56,437. A motion passed to include our total assets in future reports. Another motion suggested we include more of the business meeting in Saturday's schedule. For the report of the Resolutions Committee, see Gabe Griffith's article. What a busy, fulfilling convention.